This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
But I would like to thank another group of people, and that is you, brothers and sisters, this community, the audience, those of you who came today and attended this. It is your love for the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla that brought you here today. And that love and admiration is mutual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this message to you and me. قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ لِيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. That is you. Say to them, O Muhammad, that the pure spirit has brought it down, meaning the Quran, from your Lord in truth to make firm those who believe in it. Those who believe, that is you and I. And as a guidance and glad tidings to the Muslims, that is you and I. So, congratulations. Glad tidings to you. إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا. So indeed, this is a great occasion, a wonderful theme, beautiful. And we should all rejoice and be excited, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. But I have to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, uncles and aunties, I have to be honest with you, in spite of how excited I am, the state that we're in, the status quo, is quite alarming and perhaps very disturbing. The numbers are very scary. And we need to face them. And we need to deal with the reality that we live in. Anxiety disorders, brothers and sisters, affect 40 million adults in the United States of America. Age 18 and older, that is 18% of the U.S. population. Anxiety disorders affect 12% of Canadians, ranging from mild to severe impairment. 9% of men and 16% of women in Canada suffer some kind of anxiety disorder. When I was walking in, somebody collapsed right at the immigration area. Somebody just fell and collapsed. And I overheard a couple of people who were in the company of that passenger saying that, oh, she was very stressed out. She said that she wasn't feeling well. She was very stressed out. Americans say anxiety disorders are highly treatable. Yet, only 1/3 of those suffering receive treatment. On the other hand, the Canadians, and you can verify this, the Canadians say that for a variety of reasons, many individuals may not seek treatment for anxiety. They may consider the symptoms mild or normal. They don't know any better. Now, there is something that both the Canadians and the Americans agree upon. Anxiety disorders represent the most common of all mental illnesses in both countries. However, this is why I brought this information to you. They all agree that anxiety disorders, and there are all kinds of them, and I'll explain to you, just give you a brief description as to what I'm talking about. They all agree that anxiety disorders can effectively be treated in a community setting. In a community setting. Now, someone might say, what is this? What are anxiety disorders? What are you talking about? What does that have to do with the Quran? We're not here to hear about it. Well, here are some of the symptoms of anxiety disorders. Intense and prolonged feelings of fear, distress that occur out of proportion to the actual threat or danger. Out of proportion to the actual threat or danger. Intense, prolonged feeling of fear and distress. You tell me that the Muslim community, many of our community members are not suffering from these kind of symptoms. Another symptom. Feelings of fear and distress that interferes, feelings of fear and distress that interfere with a normal daily function. The person becomes dysfunctional. How many times, I'm an imam, how many times do we get people who come and they say, I can't function. I want you to read some Quran. I'm very depressed. I'm stressed out. I have anxiety. I cannot get over my sorrow and my sadness. I'm the prisoner of my own feelings. And we are the community that has been bombarded lately with so many challenges. If you look at anything around you, if you turn on the TV, or if you even surf the net, you will see plenty of information out there that will make you stressed out, that will sadden you as a Muslim and as a human being. But on top of that, we have another challenge in our community. Mental, psychological, and emotional illnesses and disorders and challenges are not considered to be real issues. We are in denial as a community, and we don't know how to handle them. And we don't even acknowledge that. One of the imams tweets, 90% of the people that come to him believing that they have some kind of sihr or some kind of possession by jinn or evil eye, like jinn have no business except to go after the Muslims. This obsession with that, 90% of those cases, it is some kind of anxiety disorder. And it's treatable. And there are all kinds of issues. There's a long list of these disorders. Some of them are mild, some of them are severe. I'll share a personal story with you. A few years ago, I had some heart palpitations. All of a sudden, I think I'm smoother than Buna thinks I am. Seriously. I'm laying down, thinking about pleasant things, and then all of a sudden, I feel like that my heart skipped a beat or two. Like, oh, something normal. And then it happens again. I'm like, okay, no big deal. Then the next day, and it happens at the same time. Okay, what's happening here? No big deal. And then all of a sudden it happens while I'm giving a speech. All of a sudden. Maybe Brother Farhan can later explain to us. All of a sudden, then it started to turn into panic attacks. When I talked to a couple of people, they said, yeah, you're getting older. I said, mashallah. I underwent all kinds of tests. Yeah, they found something, some abnormalities, that no big deal, nothing. Something very minor, nothing. Put a heart monitor, yeah, okay. Palpitations, this, that. Then I found out that it was very common in my age, within my age group, and I'm not going to tell you what that age group is. One time it got so bad, I went to the doctor's office. He said, explain to me what you do. Well, actually, sorry, before he said that, he said, he looked at the tests, he looked at the reports and everything. He said, you must have something very stressful in your life. So I suggest that you meditate. And then he asked me, he said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm an imam. Minister. Oh, okay. It was very awkward. I tell people to meditate. He's like, you need to work out. You need to have some kind of balance in your life. Just a little too stressed. I never thought that I was stressed out. And I never thought that it got to me, but it did. Now, there are many people who don't realize it. And it continues. And it escalates. And it affects their relationship. And it affects their concentration. And it affects their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I tell you, there is one thing that is common. Now, of course, there are plenty of studies. I couldn't find anything substantial with regards to the effects of the Quran. But there is plenty of evidence out there that meditation, prayers, right? And by the way, don't think this does not affect us as Muslims. Consider this. One of the problems is that in our communities we don't recognize it, so many people don't get help, so we don't have accurate assessment as to how bad it is in our communities. But in Saudi Arabia, where the adhan is called 5 times a day, where they have Mecca and Medina, where they have all these great scholars and imams and beautiful qaris, 500,000 men and women suffer from some kind of anxiety disorder. Now, alhamdulillah, in the recent year, there's a 20% increase in people actually going and seeking help, proper help. But you wonder, and then it hit me. I realized what I was missing. I realized that I became preoccupied with reading or following the news and reading things and doing analysis and worrying about things. And I forgot something that was there all along with me. I became a little preoccupied and I walked away from a very dear friend. A friend that I give credit to for everything that I have in my life. And I'm sure that many of my brothers and sisters who are active or who may have been honored to be companions of that friend feel the same way. I'm sure our mashayikh here will tell you that the Quran is the greatest blessing in their lives. The Quran. Not our parents. Not our children. And not our lovely spouses. But the Quran. The greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Imagine or consider this, brothers and sisters. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive today, and you had a chance to be in his company, wouldn't you be in his company? How many people, show of hand, please. How many people would rush to be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or befriend him on Facebook? Everybody, right? Everyone would want to be the friend of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man comes to Aisha asking her, what was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like? And she said, أَوَلَسَّ تَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ? Don't you read the Qur'an? Aren't you a reciter of the Qur'an? He said, yes. What does that have to do with what I'm asking about? She said, فَذَلِكَ نَبِيُّكُمْ. That was indeed your prophet. كان خلقه القرآن. Quran was his character. The prophet was an embodiment of the Quran. No wonder, I say, no wonder the companions of the Quran in many of their qualities and traits resemble and remind me of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No wonder. كان خلقه القرآن. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood the value of this book. And a day will come. وقال الرسول يا ربي إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. They have abandoned the book. And that day has come. Where we don't even realize the power and the might and the effect of this awesome book, the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ realized that. That's why his dua was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Imam Ahmad Tabarani, and others, Al-Bayhaqi and others report this hadith, an authentic hadith. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما أصاب أحداً قط هم ولا حزن فقال. No one would ever be stricken by some kind of sadness, sorrow, anxiety, stress, depression. And then says, اللهم إني عبدك وابن عبدك وابن أمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاؤك أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي. The spring in my heart. Oh grant, oh Allah, make the Qur'an the spring in my heart. وَنُورَ صَدْرِي. And the light in my chest. وَجَلَاءَ حُزْنِي وَذَهَابَ هَمِّي. And the banisher of my sadness and the reliever of my distress. It is the cure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. It's the pure cure. No side effects. No allergic reaction. Yet we haven't tapped into this great treasure that we have. Few people have discovered the awesome power of the Quran. No wonder, brothers and sisters, people who have strong connection with the Quran are not as stressed, are not as sad. Don't believe it when people say that, oh yeah, yeah, have the Quran, you have to be very serious and you have to be sad and you have to show sorrow. Never, never. Our Shaykh Ja'far, Shaykh Idris, Hafizahullah, used to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never prays sadness in the Quran or sorrow. In fact, it's the opposite. So when someone says that sadness teaches me what happiness does not, it is not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran not to be sad. Not to be overcome by grief. How many times does Allah say, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ لَا تَحْزَنْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ فَلَا تَحْزَنْ. How many times? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prays that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures his heart, and he had the purest heart sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Qur'an and by the Qur'an and through the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, brothers and sisters, clearly. He says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That we have indeed revealed of the Quran that which is mercy and cure and healing for the believers. You know, I was praying for Brother Noor, because he happened to be the one that sent me the program. And when I saw the theme, and when I saw the title of my talk, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait for this moment. But I tell you, over the past few days, as I was going over my notes, I couldn't help but to cry. I think today at the terminal in Connecticut, someone thought that there was something wrong with me. But I tell you why. I tell you why. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give mercy to those who perished in the massacre of Hawla in Syria. Ameen. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring a swift resolution to the crisis in Syria and in other places. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide the people of Egypt so that they would prosper. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread peace and justice throughout the lands of the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Brothers and sisters, the world is suffering. And we Muslims specifically have been subjected to all kinds of atrocities. So much so that many have fallen into a state of despair and became desensitized, lost hope. And you hear people uttering words that a believer who believes in Allah and the last day should never utter. And these words are coming from hearts that are full of pain, agony, anguish. People are not saying these things because they don't believe. They're in a lot of pain. And pain is not good. And if it's not cured, if it's not healed, if it's not taken care of, it will hurt the person. And it will damage the heart. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the body there is a piece of flesh, there is an organ. That if that part is sound, everything else in the body will be sound. And if it's infected, then everything else in the body will suffer. Ala wa hiya al-qalb, it is the heart. It is getting to our hearts. So you hear people uttering words and making statements and giving analysis. You have Muslims who believe that everything that is happening around us is nothing but a great conspiracy, and that there is nothing that we can do to change the status quo or make or bring about any change whatsoever. Subhanallah, what happened? We are not reading the Quran. The Quran is not the spring in our hearts. That is what happened. So I was exposed to a prolonged period of watching Al Jazeera when I wake up, ever since the Egyptian revolution, since last year until this year, right? And there are those periods where things escalate, and then you're watching the news and you're taking all of this, and then you're dealing with people in your own community suffering, and then you have family challenges and you have this and that. And even when you surf the net, you see nothing but disgusting reports, things that affect the heart. And then I go to the masjid to pray Fajr. And then after the salah, we sit down in a halaqah and we get to read a few verses from the Quran. And subhanallah, that, friends, gives me all the answers for all the questions. As if those ayahs that we choose to read that morning were revealed to address those concerns that I have. The friend that we have abandoned, walked away from, you go back to the Quran, and it is as fresh as it was the first time. But we have taken it for granted. Wallahi, there is an answer for every question. There is a resolution for every crisis. There is a solution for every problem in the Quran. So to those people who say things like, oh, it's a conspiracy, there's this small group of people who are plotting, they are in charge. I say, no, you're wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ مَكَرَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That those who were before them plotted as well. And they thought that they were invincible. فَأَتَى اللَّهُ بُنْيَانَهُمْ مِنَ الْقَوَاعِدِ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came at the foundation of their establishment. فَخَرَّ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّقْفُ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ And the roof collapsed from above them. No one is in charge. No one is in control except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who tells me that? This friend of mine, the Qur'an. There is always hope. Who tells me that? The Qur'an. There is a bright future ahead of us. Who tells me that? This friend of mine, the Qur'an. Brothers and sisters, in this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about two types of sorrow, anxiety, hazan, about something that happens in the past. You can't get over the pain. The Qur'an comes and helps you. And that's why it's a cure to the heart. Think of any loss. Go approach the Qur'an. Let the Qur'an talk to you. And I will conclude with this, brothers and sisters. We see this miracle take place every single year. Ramadan is around the corner. Few weeks, not even few months anymore. Few weeks. We see this take place every year. Muslims fight over, you know what, right? Star Wars. So, and as soon as the month of Ramadan is declared, as soon as people settle the whole feud about the moon sighting and whether the month started or not, when people finally realize that, khalas, it started, let's pray Taraweeh anyways, right? And then they all stand behind that imam who's reciting with a beautiful voice, he's reading the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, something happens. And it's not a transformation. It is the fact that Muslims finally get to hear and listen to the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And all along, we argue and we fight with one another. When all we have to do is just refer to the book of Allah. All along, we fight with ourselves and we hate ourselves. And all we have to do is expose ourselves to the beauty of the book of Allah. Allowing the Qur'an full access to their hearts, through their ears. The transformation happens. People hug each other on that first night and congratulate one another. In spite of the differences in their madhabs or their point of view or their political affiliation or their ethnic background. We manage to go and have regular meals with the members of our households. We managed to do things that we didn't do. Why? It is all the blessing of this powerful friend of ours, the Qur'an. So all I'm saying, brothers and sisters, let us go back to this friend and befriend the Qur'an. Be the friends and the companions of the Qur'an. Allow the Qur'an full access to our hearts. Ponder and reflect upon its meanings. Follow and implement its teachings. Reflect the power of this book and show it to the world. For in it, there's a solution for all. I say this and I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make the Qur'an the spring in our hearts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you and I follow the example of those who had their garden, who had their strength, who had their fuel in their heart, and no one was able to take it away from them. No matter where they were, they had it with them. No one was able to restrict it or snatch it out of their hearts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it the light of our hearts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it the guide of our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you and I of those who follow the guidance of this book in everything, in all of their affairs, in their relationships, in whatever they do, and in whatever they...